In the message today, we'll be really watching 16 minutes of the movie. We're watching two different segments of it, which I believe will be inspiring. But God used this concept to inspire many things in our life. In fact, we planned at Camden, we'd already made plans, to develop a war room in Camden, for the purpose of when people were in deep trouble, deep times of difficulty, they could come to the war room and meet with the leaders of the church there to help them pray through the end of situations. We also plan to have that in here in El Dorado. I believe we all need a war room, don't you? I believe we all need that concept of being able to develop a warrior's heart inside of us and have those that will gather with us to fight. Now, the star of this movie, I just have to talk a little bit about it. The star of this movie is totally unbelievable what God's done with her life. Just a few years ago, I was trying to connect with her to invite her to come because she is an evangelist. She'd never acted before, never known what acting was, but she's a powerful evangelist. She's been involved with Gateway Church there in Dallas, which all have been involved with that. But a powerful. But when they approached her to star in this movie, she couldn't believe it because she didn't know anything about it. But I tell you what, you can't watch that movie without knowing how the anointing of God can come on somebody. I mean, she's the most powerful actor I believe I've ever seen, and how the anointing of the Holy Spirit has just moved on her, and she's just a major evangelist across this world, and God's really mighty used. So God can qualify us. Can you say amen? God can strengthen us, whatever He's wanting us to do. And so this movie speaks volumes in a lot of it. Today I'm going to talk to you about the good fight. Boy, now I love this message. Powerful, powerful, powerful message. In fact, this message was put together by Stephen Willis there in Camden. And it blessed my heart, because when I began to study this message after Stephen put it together, it's everything I believe. But you know, as an older person, you always wonder. This thing always was in my heart as our young ministers: are they learning the heart of a battle warrior? Are they learning the heart of that? And I tell you what, after Stephen prepared this message for me and for himself, when he did that, I said, you know, he's gotten it. He understands what warfare is all about. Now, victory here in El Dorado, victory in Camden, there are major things that God put us and planted us here for. But I believe there's two major things that becomes our voice into the world. And one voice is that the devil did it, God didn't do anything bad to you. And that's the turnaround, the deception of the enemy that's tried to take bad things and point it toward a good God and blame God for things. I feel like that's a major voice. We say that in almost every message that we preach, because I just can't tolerate the devil disguising the things that he does, and then he uses his deception to not allow believers to fight against it because they think it's God that's doing to them. When Jesus qualified that all, didn't he? And John 10:10, he said, the thief, the devil, come to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, that's not me. He said, I've come to give life. So everything that's bringing life into you is Jesus. Everything that's trying to destroy you is the enemy. And so in this message this morning, we want to deal with some things in the where we can see the areas of control. Does the enemy have a certain play that he's trying to bring against us? But the second thing is the message of warfare. There is the essence of fighting against the enemy that God expects each one of us to do. And that's where our message takes off today. God expects each one of us to take part in fighting the forces of darkness that are desperately trying to keep us from the purpose and the plan of God that He has for each one of our lives. Now, He does that in one of two ways, usually. One way is He moves us into a life of ease. Now, I hadn't experienced that much. Have you experienced that a whole lot? But that's what He moves people into, a life of ease to where they have no real war going on. So even though they know God is desiring for their life to mean more and have more purpose, they won't fight through that to be able to get that. And the other one is because the devil just defeats. Man, he just keeps some people so beat down and so discouraged that they never have an opportunity to pop up out of that pit that he's dug for them and to get up and begin to live the purpose-driven life that God intends for them to. God has called us to a great purpose and to a great plan. Now, we may think that our only purpose in life may be to work at the gas station or work at the mill or work at the company or be in the office, but God has much more purposes. That just is a means to accomplish something greater that God's put us here on earth to do. God has a purpose for each one of your lives. And I want you to know the devil has so put it within his focus and his goal is to stop that. But in the name of Jesus, through the power of God, you will break through and you will accomplish what God has put you on earth to accomplish and what God has intended you here for. Amen over our life. Praise God. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. It means purposes and fighting. See, it's the fight. It's the fight of not to be in this world, but it's also a fight to not be of this world. It's a struggle that we must determine. When God speaks prophetic words to us, so many times we all receive a prophetic word out of the Bible or a promise out of the Bible, and it's just like we just expect it to happen, which that's not the way the Bible says it will happen at all. God gives you a promise, or God speaks a prophetic word over your life, and then God expects us to take that word and to war a right kind of warfare until that word comes to pass over our life. Because even though God has, it's his destiny and his purpose, the devil's goal is to stop it. So if there's anything good that God has intended for your life, the devil's purpose is to stop it. But I'm here to tell you, the devil doesn't have a vote in the matter. There's only one that has that vote. God's already made his decision for you, and the only other deciding decision is us. We must make the decision. We must allow ourselves to rise up as the warrior that God's called us to be and say, devil, it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you do. Jesus has given me a promise. I'm going to take this promise and I will destroy the forces of darkness until it happens. Amen? For the glory of God. Powerful, powerful. The plans and purposes of God. Even in the Lord's Prayer, the Lord taught us this. All through the scripture, Jesus taught us this. Some way we don't identify a lot of times, I don't believe, with the right person in the New Testament. A lot of times we identify as one as Jesus has just helped. Well, there in each of our lives, that's where all of our lives begin, is that Jesus comes to us and helps us. And God begins a work in us. But somewhere in the process of it, then the example of the life that I'm to live must become the life of Jesus. It's just not those that are constantly in need, constantly in discouragement, constantly in depression, constantly. No, somewhere along the road, it transitions. And all of a sudden, I'm just not that Peter disciple that's running in fear. All of a sudden, I can see it's no longer I that lives, but it's now Christ that's living in me. And the life which I now live, according to the scripture, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God. Somewhere in the process, we're not seeing ourselves as the fearful disciples that's on the ship facing the storms of life. All of a sudden, we've got to begin to see ourselves as the Jesus that finds peace in every storm, that's able to walk to the bow of that boat and begin to speak to the storms of our life and begin to control them through the power of Christ. Amen? God has so much more for us. So much more for us than what a lot of us are living. So God is constantly desiring us to move forward. Now, even in the Lord's Prayer is a warfare prayer. It begins off with powerful worship. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Powerful worship, powerful praise, recognition of God in each of our lives. But then it comes down and it says, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to say that's a powerful statement that God makes there. Because what the Lord is telling me to pray there is telling me to assume authority. See, Jesus, when he was on earth, he had the authority. All the authority in heaven and earth was placed in the hands of Jesus. That's why Jesus could stand and speak to the storms. That's why he could speak to the paralytics. That's why he could speak to the blind. But he had such an authority. And he had this, not only did he have authority, the right to be able to declare the power of God, but then the power of God would flow through that authority. But now when Jesus left, what did he say? He said, all power is given unto me, all authority given to me, but I give it to you. See, all of a sudden, some way, when Jesus was here on earth, the disciples operated under Jesus' authority. That's why he would send them out. But when he got ready to leave this earth, he come to a place, he said, now you've got to have that authority. He said, it's not, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And where I'm going, you cannot come. And so Jesus said, now you must have this authority and you must have this power. And so that's why Jesus said there in the book of Matthew, he conveyed that authority on his disciples. He said, that same authority that I have, I give to you. Because you will become you will become targets of the enemy now. Where I have been the target of the enemy, your life will now become the target of the enemy. So to be able to face the target of the enemy, you've got to have my authority. And then he spoke these words. He said, but you almost must have power. He said, so tarry in Jerusalem. He didn't tell them to rush out and to begin to use that authority. He said, you got to have authority and you got to have power. So he told them to tarry in Jerusalem because Jesus had given them the authority at that point, but they still needed the power. They needed the power that was going to be able to back that authority that God had given to them. So they went to the upper room and they prayed and sought God. And they prayed and sought God until something supernaturally happened. They had an authority, but how many know you also need a power? Amen. And so they sought God until the power of God was given to them. I'm going to tell you what, we also need two of those two experiences. We need to come to a realization of the authority that Christ has given to us. The authority that to defeat the powers of darkness, Jesus said that in my name you will cast out devils. In my name you will speak with new tongues. In my name. So if Jesus knew the authority, but he knew also that they had to have that power. So we too, we need that. As a believer today, I don't know for what God gives us in a portion, we need to be filled full of the power of God. Amen. So I want to encourage you that if you're going to ever accomplish anything for God, you're going to have to do it through him. You're going to have to become that warrior that God's called you to be. And to be able to be that warrior that God's called us to be, you're going to have to begin to move in his authority. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, it said, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. In the original Greek, that is a statement of declaration. It's not a request. It's not like you looking up to heaven and then, Father, your kingdom, please come and your will, please be done. It's a declaration because God had already given him his authority. It's the declaration to stand in the midst of hell itself. Whatever hell is trying to do to your life. Whatever destruction is trying to take place, whatever is trying to destroy your family, whatever is trying to destroy your marriage, whatever it is that's trying to destroy your health, it's the right as a believer to stand in the midst of that situation and boldly declare, thy kingdom come, Father, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. That's a declaration. Now you begin to think. What the Lord says, I need that authority to be used, to be able to bring my power from heaven to earth. Now, what do they have in heaven? And we're amazed, isn't it amazing how the devil has tried to so confuse our minds to where the devil tries to make us think that God's putting the very thing on us that he has none of. There is no problems in heaven. There is no rebellion in heaven. There is no sickness in heaven. There is no defeat in heaven. There is no discouragement in heaven. Do you understand? That's why God said, I want to use you in your life, in your situation, to where that the heaven, the authority, the power that I have in heaven, where it can become real into your situation for the glory of God. Amen. Let me read this verse, then I'll show you a clip this morning. And this clip is so dramatic. As you find, as an older saint tries to mentor a younger saint in what I've been sharing with you here. Vision 6:12 says, in the Message Bible, this is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. That's the way the Message Bible talks. It says, this is for keeps. A life or death fight to the finish against the devil and his angels. Amen.
Oh, that's almost 3 pages.
And I could write more, but you'll get the gist of it when you read it.
Actually, I'm not gonna read it.
My question to you is this. In light of all these wrongs, does God still love Tony?
We both know he does.
Do you?
Now, Miss Clara, you're meddling. There's love in my heart for Tony, but it's just buried under a lot of frustration.
So he needs grace.
Grace? I don't know that he deserves grace.
Do you deserve grace?
Miss Clara, you have a habit of backing me up in a corner and making me squirm.
I felt the same way. But the question still remains, do you deserve grace? The Bible says that no one is righteous, not even one, for we have all sinned. So really none of us deserve grace, but we all still want God's forgiveness. Elizabeth, it comes down to this. Jesus shed his blood on the cross. He died for you. Even when you did not deserve it. And he rose from the grave and offers forgiveness and salvation for anyone who turns to him. But the Bible also says that we can't ask him to forgive us while refusing to forgive others.
I know, Miss Clara, but that's just so hard to do.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But that's where grace comes in. He gives us grace. And he helps us to give it to others, even when they don't deserve it. We all deserve judgment. And that is what a holy God gives us when we don't repent and believe in his son. I had to forgive Leo for some things. And it wasn't easy, but it freed me. Elizabeth, there's not room for you and God on the throne of your heart. It's either him or it's you. You need to step down. Now, if you want victory, you're gonna have to first surrender.
But Miss Clara, do I just back off and choose to forgive and then just let him walk all over me?
God is a good defense attorney. Trust it to him. And then you can turn your focus to the real enemy.
The real enemy?
The one that wants to remain hidden. The one that wants to distract you and deceive you and divide you from the Lord and your husband. You see, that's how it works. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he is stealing your joy. He is killing your faith. And he's trying to destroy your family. If I were you, I would get my heart right with God. And you need to do your fighting in prayer. And you need to kick the real enemy out of your home with the word of God. It's time for you to fight, Elizabeth. It's time for you to fight for your marriage. It's time for you to fight the real enemy. It's time for you to take off the gloves and do it.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So it is a good fight that God's called us, and we must fight. Because us just determining we don't want to fight or we don't want to be part of the battle will not stop the enemy working against our life. In fact, if you have just a small portion of the knowledge of warfare, then you become double the threat to the devil. And what you've got to know is, if God has given you a revelation of prayer or somewhere spoken to your heart that God can change that through prayer, then you must become the prayer warrior that God's called you to be. Because at that moment, by you receiving a revelation from the Lord, or God revealing to you what He wants to do through you in prayer, then you become a focus of the devil. But I'm going to tell you what, not only are you focused on by the devil, but you also become a focus from heaven, that God in His power is determined to fight with you and for you and through you for the glory of God. Amen. Now the Bible says that we're to imitate God. And a lot of times we see the Lord. We see Him just sitting on the side of the mountain, as in the Beatitudes. And we see Him cloaked there and almost holding a lamb. But I tell you what, there is another side of the Lord. We see that side in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But when you begin the book of Revelations, you see another side of Jesus. You see one that stands and His eyes are as a flame of fire. And you see that His hair is white as wool. And you see a mighty man of war. And that's what the Bible says in Exodus chapter 15 and 3. He said, the Lord is a man of war. Now you can classify the Lord as a lot of things. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's a savior. But I want you to know also, He is a man of war. God is a man of war, ready to take the position, stand beside any believer that will make a decision, I will stand against this evil. I'm not going to stop with this devil winning. I'm going to determine that God has the victory for me, and I'm going to determine to pray this thing through until breakthrough comes for the glory of God. Amen. Exodus 15:3 said the Lord is that warrior. Revelation 19:11 says, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was faithful and true, and in his righteousness he judges and makes war. A lot of times we don't think about God like that, but God's called us to a life of warfare. That's why that God has called us to wear the clothes of a warrior, to wear the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness. God's called us to wear the clothes of a warrior. God's called us to have the mindset of a warrior. And God has called us to war. Now, it's a war over territory. That's what the enemy wants. It's just like it was all through the Old Testament. We see in the Old Testament the physical relationships that tie into the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it was all over territory. It was promises that were given, and each promise became a territory. And it was the enemy's job to try to keep who that promise was given to out of that territory. But those that had received the promise, that's what the whole Old Testament is written about. Those who had been given the promise to begin to occupy the territory that had been given to them by promise of God. Amen? So that's what, and then the Bible says in book of Joshua chapter 1 verse 3, it just puts it in a classic format, that every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given it to you, saith the Lord. What God is speaking into our heart is those precious promises that God's given to us. I've watched people live and die and never ever see their promise fulfilled. Because I've watched people take a promise as a rabbit's foot and try to just hold it to be something dear to them, then to realize that promise that God has given to me becomes a two-edged sword in the hand of the warrior. God expects me to expel the enemy and to believe Him to come in to occupy that He has blessed me with. Amen? So it's to extend our borders. And wherever your borders may begin with a decent job. Then they may spread out into a place to where that you have a family, and then a happy family, and then children that that must be conquered in the Lord, or whatever it is. And then the ministry that God's called us into. All of those aspects are our borders being expanded. And God's called us to begin to win on one front, that we can take the victory of that one front and begin to place it in the different fronts of our life. Can you say amen? If you will listen to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will zero in on each of our lives in that particular front that God wants us to win first in. And then God will give you the strength. He uses the word empowerment. It's called an inner empowerment. God says, I will put an inner empowerment in you to be able to stand against the forces of darkness and to see my victory come. Praise the Lord. So God has called us. I love what it says in Nehemiah 4, chapter 14. Nehemiah finally understood the purpose that God had put him on earth for. And this is what he said. He said, and I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. Fight for your brothers. Fight for your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses. And immediately he knew if the God's purposes was going to be fulfilled, he had to begin to take a hold of that armor as a warrior and begin to fight for that which God had given to him by way of promise. Amen. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, it says, verse 30, God says, so I sought for a man among them who would make up a wall and would stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land. What God is speaking to our heart, that God is looking for us. He's looking for warriors. He's looking for those that will answer the spiritual call to begin to allow him to work in our lives to allow those victories to come. The second thing is, we must fight the real enemy. Immediately when we decide to be a warrior, immediately then we begin to fight enemies. And so many times, not only does the devil first try to convince you that there's really not a battle, the second thing he tries to convince you, once you understand there is a battle, is to fight the wrong enemy. And the Bible strictly tells us that we don't fight against flesh and blood. Although if we was to deal with most of the circumstances in our life today, probably 50% of the people that are here this morning, if I was to tell you to list the battles that you're facing, you would start them something like Tom, John, Ronnie, whatever it is. Because the enemy has convinced you that your battle's in the flesh and you can't get any further. If you're going to see your battle with people, you're never, ever going to win the battle. The only way victory will ever come is for you to be able to develop eyes of the Lord. The Bible says we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. The revelation of the Lord to us is this. There's an enemy that's behind whatever it is that's attacking you. Jesus fully understood that. That's why when Peter stood before him and Jesus began to tell them about the cross that he would experience, Peter immediately began to tell the Lord, don't let that be God. That will not be so. But Jesus knew that wasn't just a thought that Peter had. Jesus knew that thought that Peter had about him not going to the cross, trying to make it easier for Jesus, which we would say that has a certain amount of compassion to it. But Jesus knew that that thought was from the devil. And so he did not even address, Alan, he did not even address Jesus on it. I mean, Jesus did not even address Peter on it. He addressed the spirit that was speaking through Peter. And at that point, he said, get thee behind me, Satan, for you don't savor the things that be of God, but be a man. I'm going to tell you what, unless you can come to a place to where that you can see the battle that you're fighting to be the true battle of the forces of darkness that have been sent against you. The devil will always have people that he can manipulate. He'll always have circumstances that he can manipulate. He'll always have situations that he can manipulate. The devil will always have those until Jesus finally locks him up for that one final time. Amen. Amen. So until then, there's always going to, but we want to get so mad at the vessel and then we pay very little attention to to the forces of darkness that's manipulating that vessel. But the Lord told us that the strength we had as a believer was not fighting that flesh and blood, but to realize there is a force of darkness that's been sent against me, that's behind whatever it is that's taking place. And I must learn the strength of God. I must gain the strength of God and use the principles of God to defeat that force that's coming against us. I'm going to tell you what, you can mow people down, and every time you do, there'll be somebody else to stand up and take their place. It's not people, and it's not circumstances. It's the enemy that's determined to destroy your life. So whatever it is behind that, until our eyes can come to a place where we can see who the real enemy. It's the real enemy that's trying to prevent the will of God, to hinder God's purposes. It's the real enemy that's tried to set a dangerous trap for Jesus. Remember, even tried to get Jesus to go to the cross before it was time. Once the devil found out that he could not use Peter to get Jesus to shun the cross, then immediately he began to try to move Jesus to go to the cross too early. And when even Jesus' own family even came and promoted that. But at the same time, Jesus understood, because his strategies were not earth strategies. His strategies was born in heaven. He knew that he had to continue walk with God and stay in God's path for that to come to pass right. Amen? Ephesians chapter 6:12. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Do you understand that is a command? It said, don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Whoever it is that you're fighting with, do you understand? You're breaking the command of God to be in a battle with them. The Bible tells, the command of God is this. Do not wrestle flesh and blood. Whoever it is, there's something stronger and much bigger that's behind all of that battle. And you're going to end up using all of your energy on that flesh battle, and you're going to have nothing left to fight the spiritual battle. God says, be smarter than that. Learn. Amen. It's the same way it was with Elisha and his servant. That when the servant arose, all he could see was the enemy against him. And that's what happens when we arise, and all we can see is the circumstances against us. But Elisha prayed, and he said, Lord, open his eyes that he can see. God miraculously answered that prophet's prayer. And in a moment of time, that servant's eyes was open. And all of a sudden, where all he could see the enemy, all of a sudden he began to see the chariots of God's great army that was sent to defend him. I want to tell you what, unless you begin to see the real enemy, you're not going to be able then to see the real rescue that God has for you for the glory of God. Amen. Spirits of rebellion have to be dealt with. Spirits of disobedience, spirits of addiction, spirits of immorality, spirits of spiritual blindness. All of these. The battle is not our bosses. It's not our neighbors. It's not our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not flesh and blood. And if I could pray anything for God's people today, I would pray, God, help us to grow up. Help us to understand our battle is not with people. Our battle is with the arch enemy of God that is determined to destroy God's children. Amen. Praise God. We must fight using spiritual weapons. Not only must we see the right battle, we've got to use God's weapons. You've got to begin to use what the Lord's told you to use. Now, God's given us a whole arsenal of weaponry. I'm just going to mention a few just real quick. The weapon of prayer, the weapon of fasting, the weapon of the word. What a powerful tool against the enemy. That's what Jesus used to totally destroy the enemy when he was in the wilderness. The devil had come to try to convince Jesus a lie, to try to get him to take an alternate path, to try to get him to mess the purposes of God. And because Jesus was fully God, but because he had put on an earth suit, anybody that's wearing an earth suit is prone to try to follow these five physical senses. But as long as you follow just your five physical senses, you will in no way win the war that God's called you to win. Your battle has to go beyond those five physical senses. You got to click on a set of eyes that God's put on the inside of you. You got to begin to see the world through the scripture and through Jesus' very own eyes. And then all of a sudden it takes on a totally different enlightenment. Amen. Everybody say the weapon of the word. And then there's the weapon of delegated authority. A lot of times, I've watched people that would fast and pray and see God and use God's word, but they had no idea of how God operates in his realm of delegated authority. I tell you what, it's a blessing to be in a church. It's a blessing to have a pastor. It's a blessing to have a deacon. You may see these as bad things in your life, but until you don't understand the spiritual power of God. One of the greatest things in the world is to go into a battle with your spiritual authority standing with you for the glory of God. To have an Aaron on one side holding your arm up, to have a Hur on the other side holding your arm up, and as long as your hand stayed raised to the Lord, the battle is won in the valley for the glory of God. Amen. It's just important. It's important to understand the power that's in this delegated authority. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, God said, "And God has put all things under the authority of Christ, and he gave him this authority for the benefit of the church." That's what it says.
Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I'm not as judge you are. But I'm asking you, please, please don't let him do this. To God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Submit to God, resist the devil.
Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to see how God works in the lives of believers. What you saw portrayed on this screen behind me is what the Bible declares to be is the life of a believer. A believer is to live its life not like the world. We're in the world, but we're not of this world. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I leave you with this message today. And the simple message is, we must fight with spiritual weaponry, and then we must fight with divine strategies. Only the Holy Spirit has the qualifications to lead us into battle. The Lord measures each of our lives, watching us daily, looking at us, seeing where our lives is, where the devil's fought us, knowing where the devil's fixed to come against us, knowing the doors is fixed to open, knowing the doors has been shut. But by following the strategies of the Holy Spirit. Now you can be like some of the hunters in South Arkansas. You can just load your gun full of squirrel shot and walk out your door and begin to shoot. And you can begin to use all different types of weaponry and find no focus to them. Or you can allow the Holy Spirit to move in with His divine strategy. And allow the Holy Spirit to pull that weaponry together in your life. To where it will begin to build a victory that God is intended. Our nation has been in constant wars for the last number of years. But one thing we've learned, the strategy of warfare means who's going to win that battle. It's not just the capabilities. It's not just having the right weaponry at your disposal. It's using the weapons underneath a higher strategy that can see the full playing board when we so often can only see the smoke of this one day's battle. But God knows how to take this one day battle and turn it into a tomorrow victory that will eventually build toward a series of battles that will end in ultimate victory. I'm going to close this way. As Leah and Emma, they're fixing to start praise and worship. We're going to enter into a time of worship of the Lord. But I want to close with, in the midst of our praise, I want to invite those that sense the battle raging in some form, some way going on in your life. And you have the knowledge to know that, man, this is not a physical battle. I can continue fighting this thing with physical weaponry and looking at physical opponents, and I know that I will lose. What I believe God's wanting us to do this morning is to surrender to the greatest strategist of all time. If you're in the midst of a battle, in the midst of our praise, while the rest of us are praising God, I want to invite you to slip to this front. There's something about the altars that means the meeting place with God. And I want you to simply to come and ask God, precious Holy Spirit, I need you to lead me in this battle. I know it's your strength I need. I know it is your weaponry. But Lord, I'm coming today to surrender my right over to you. That you, God, can begin to take a direction in my life, in my warfare, that I've never had you in before. I want you, precious Holy Spirit, to bring your strategy into my life and lead me into not just the winning of this battle, but I want you to lead me in the winning of this whole war. I sense the Spirit of God as I was coming here this morning. I sense the Spirit of God wooing and desiring for that place, for that prominent place, to be officially given to Him in a lot of our lives. So, Leah, you just go ahead and begin praise and worship. And as she does, I'm going to invite you to come. Brother Donald's going to be in charge. And I'm just going to simply ask him to just come and to just gently lay a hand on those that would come. And to join with you by asking the Holy Spirit to take a leadership in your life, in your battle, in your war, to assure the victory, to assure the success, to assure the redeemed.